SACOS has released a substantial piece of research into poverty in South Australia, which includes the calculation of a brand new and more accurate poverty line specific to the state. It's the first time SA-specific data has been used in this way as well. SACOS has prepared this new data and research as part of its submission to a parliamentary inquiry into poverty in South Australia. Senior Policy Officer Dr. Greg Ogle discusses the research and its findings.
The Legislative Council set up a select committee on the motion from the Greens to inquire into poverty and the state of poverty in South Australia, and we thought this was a good chance to highlight some of the issues that we often talk about and bring them to the Parliament. I think it's really important that the Select Committee does inquire into this. Alleviation of poverty has got to be one of the most important things for a government to be doing, and so we just thought it was a great opportunity to bring together a whole range of things that we often talk about into the framework of poverty in this committee.
Has an inquiry like this been done before in relation to poverty in the state?
Yes, actually. We came across, quite by accident the other day, we came across a SACOS submission to the 2003 Select Committee into poverty. So it is important that the government, and in this case the Parliament, does keep inquiring into what's working to alleviate poverty, what are new needs coming up, and what should we be doing. So, yeah, these things come periodically, and I think it's certainly a good time now to be looking into it.
A lot can change in that amount of time. So tell me about this particular submission. The work that has been done to put it together is very important, very unique as well, because it's the first time we've been able to draw a South Australian poverty line.
Yeah, that's right. There's several different parts to the submission, partly addressing the Select Committee's terms of reference. But we essentially started with just a discussion about how do we measure poverty and what does poverty mean, and the problems of trying to translate a national poverty line to South Australia, where incomes are less and expenditure is less overall. And so when we draw down national poverty lines and say, oh, anybody below that is in poverty, that actually probably captures more people in South Australia. So we've used some background ABS data that's not published. It was the first time we had access to it, to actually draw a poverty line at 50% of the median income in South Australia. And that means in some ways it's a conservative estimate because it's lower than a lot of the other estimates that we see using national lines. But it means that we can be really sure that people who are below that line, and there's something like 60,000 households that are probably below that line, they're really doing it tough. We know that if you're below that line, you're definitely going to be suffering deprivation and really struggling and really in need of our support.
And for you doing this work as policy officer, it must have been quite exciting, for want of a better word, to have more accurate figures on these matters.
Yeah, look, it was good to have those figures and to work through them and see. I mean, some of the findings were, some of them were sort of as we would expect, and some of them were quite stark. The fact that the poverty rate in rural and regional South Australia is twice the rate in Adelaide was quite surprising. You know, we sort of suspected there'd be people who were hidden in poverty in rural areas and regional areas, but twice the rate was quite a stark finding. And it was good to see the extent of poverty. And one of the things we looked at was the difference that housing conditions and the difference public housing makes. So just under half the people in poverty in South Australia are renting, and about half of those are in public housing. And for the private renters, they're going to be really struggling because the sort of incomes that we were looking at, the rent will just eat up huge proportions of that income.
The report provides a good profile of the experience of poverty. What were some of the findings of your work?
One of the terms of reference for the committee was partly about the experience of people in poverty. So we drew together previous work we'd done. Some of it was on the poverty premiums we identified in one of last year's cost of living reports, and I think our Anti-Poverty Week report last year, where people are actually paying more because they're poor, because they can't afford labour-saving technologies, or because they can't afford to buy in bulk, or they're just more likely to get hit with fees and charges because they don't have the money to just buy their way out of problems. So we identified a whole range of those poverty premiums and said, well, you know, when you're looking at really low incomes, like poverty line incomes, it's not just that the incomes are low, but actually it costs more when you've got those low incomes. And then we just imported it from the budgets and the cost of living report that we were talking about last week on the program, those budgets, so that the committee could actually see what it means to live on poverty line incomes, where the household expenditure goes, and just the sheer impossibility of making ends meet. So we thought those two together gave a sort of overview and a bit of a snapshot of the experience of living in poverty. And we know that a lot of other people who are actually living in poverty will be giving evidence to the committee, so they'll hear firsthand the sort of individual stories. So we were keen to sort of draw a more just a framework for that.
And another important point that was stressed in the report, that poverty is multifaceted. It's more than simply income levels, as many people assume.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our report does focus on income, but it is really clear, and we know that other people will bring to the committee different experiences of poverty because it is multidimensional and things just feed off each other. So we've got an example in our report of how digital inclusion works. So the ability, the access to digital technology, the ability to use them comfortably is actually important for getting work. But we also know that the digital inclusion and all those abilities increases with income, with work, and with education. But if you don't have it, you're likely to miss out on education, miss out on employment. So it actually compounds the other areas of disadvantage. And we find that in health and in housing and a whole range of other areas. So that's what we mean when we say poverty is multidimensional, the ways that things just interact and compound areas of disadvantage, which and then makes it really difficult to get out of. So it's not just a matter of income. But for all that, income is actually a crucial way that we access goods and services in our society. So a lot of the discussion is rightly about income.
What recommendations is SACOS making to the committee?
We've got about six different areas we've made recommendations. First and foremost, though, and again, it goes back to what we were talking about last week on the program, which is the hideously inadequate rate of New Start. Again, income is important. A lot of people on the low poverty level incomes are actually on New Start or equivalent allowances. So the first recommendation, even though this is a state parliament committee and New Start is federal payment, is we're asking the committee to firstly define as a matter of fact that New Start is inadequate and then recommend to the South Australian government that they call on the federal government and join the calls in the rest of society for federal government to increase New Start. So that's sort of the primary recommendation of the report because that's where it starts from in a sense. So that's a very good place to start is just the income level. And then after that, we've looked at a number of other measures. Housing is obviously crucial to people's experience of poverty and getting out of poverty in terms of getting decent housing. And again, it goes back to the importance of public housing in South Australia and in the alleviation of poverty. And we're really alarmed to see over the last 10, 20 years the decline of public housing. So we want to see more investment in public housing and we'd like to see the committee recommend that, recognise the importance of public housing and recommend reinvestment and rebuilding of public housing stock. We want to see changes to the energy concession so that we have a percentage-based concession, so a percentage of the bill to make sure that the concessions are better targeted and help people with the largest bills. Our current flat rate concession probably just doesn't keep up with rising electricity prices and isn't well targeted to the people who need the concession most. We'd like to see some help with water prices for renters. We'd like to see some of the work on digital inclusion that was promised in the election, looking at auditing and working out provision of free Wi-Fi, which would really help people struggling to access data and afford data. And then the final recommendation was around the area of justice, around income-based fines, because we think it's one of those poverty premiums where if you get a traffic fine and you're on a high wage, it's a minor inconvenience. If you get a traffic fine for the same offence and you're on New Start, it can be more than the week's wages and can take forever to pay off and haunt your budget, or you just are simply unable to pay, or you go to payday lenders. It can just cascade in a whole range of fairly awful ways. So we think that for reasons of fairness and justice, so that there's an equal deterrent, if you like, and for fairness to people on lower incomes, fines should be based as a proportion of your income.
SACOS made its submission to the committee. When are we expecting to hear feedback?
I expect it will be a long process. The committee will probably have a public hearing or days of public hearing where people who have made submissions may be able to add submissions, or they just ask people to express an interest. Some people won't have done a written submission because it's not what they're good at, and they'll have a chance to talk to the committee in person. But yeah, these processes tend to take a while, and then there'll be a substantial writing up for the committee then working out what it will recommend. So yeah, it'll take a while.
Dr. Greg Ogle, Senior Policy Officer at SACOS. You can find a copy of the submission to the Parliamentary Inquiry into Poverty in South Australia on the SACOS website, sacos.org.au.